here.
Check it out.
See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head.
Boy, it's me, 27th, and it's episode 166, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast is the official podcast of thefantasyfootballauction.com, the only website dedicated to fantasy football auction. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Fantasy Auction. We are back. It is May. We have taken the entire season and the whole draft season off because there's not a lot of auction stuff to talk about, but now that teams are starting to settle in and we're seeing guys on the practice, it's time for us to get fired up and get started. So our analysts, they're always here. He's coming off the links from Fortune Bay, Blister. What'd you shoot this weekend?
Ooh, 81 and 84. Nothing special. I hit terrible. Shot poor, and I was angry most of the time, but it was good to be out. But I'm so happy that we're back on the air because, you know, we like to do this, and for me, it's a really huge part of me winning because it makes me research. So I know it. Hopefully we help somebody else out there, but the number one, you know, you got to look out for number one, and that helps me get my butt in, my nose into the NFL and start digging deep when we start potting and start putting that content on the website. So this is going to get me kicked into overdrive, and it's going to, and I'm ready to go now.
Fired right up. Blister, how was the grip? I've been waiting to hear about this. The grip was good?
Grip's not too bad, yeah. Yeah.
Shoulder
hurts a bit. I need something to just keep my head down instead of watching to see where the ball goes before I hit it. That's probably the biggest problem right now. So
falling out of the tree stand didn't do that for you?
No, I should have something. I got to figure something else out. Oh, but yeah, the grip's not bad. There's a little three-finger grip now instead of four, but it works.
Good. All right, and he's finally all dried off after cleaning up the kiddie pool. Slim, how you doing tonight?
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? I repeat, will the real Slim Shady please stand up? We're going to have a problem here.
Doing good. Looking forward to podding. Yeah, like Blister said, we finished our home league dynasty rookie draft. That kind of kickstarted kind of my fantasy football juices, I guess, a little bit. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into the whole auction swing of things and start looking at rankings and values and things like that and trying to start building tiers.
Yeah, this is when it's hard to shift that dynasty rookie brain off and go into the just that regular single season mode. It's hard because there's so much dynasty content already that right now. So it's about trying to get back into that redraft mode for me because it's been three, four rookie drafts already. So it's been busy in that regard. So I got to shut that part off and, you know, try to take a look at what's going to be going on at the redraft level, which changes everything because everyone's been so fired up about this, you know, rookie draft class and the running backs and the quarterbacks and Baker Mayfield and all of those types of things. So, trying to get that mind wrapped back around. It's going to be exciting. I'm happy we're back on. When we said we were going to come on tonight, I was buzzing. I was on the script. I was looking at the website again. So I've got a lot of work. So you guys, get the content ready, get it up, and we'll get the membership up and running again and help out all those people who are draft. So guys, we've got a few listener questions. We thought we'd fire it up for tonight and just see kind of where that takes us. So now we usually, the soundbite here would be, we just got a letter, right? And so maybe I'll try throwing that in. I'm sure Dave would kind of like if I throw that in, he'll be excited we're back on the air. So anyways, guys, let's go into the first segment. It's called We Just Got a Letter.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter. We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
Oh, my voice is there. Oh, I'm warmed right up, guys. I'm fired up. Shot out of a cannon. Anyways, all right. So let's just talk here. We don't have to go back and forth. Let's just have a discussion. There's some pretty broad topics here that I think would be pretty interesting to talk about this early, even already in the pre-draft season. So first question here comes from Ryan Miner 8. He's asking this question, guys. What are our thoughts on quarterbacks? And it's the year to zag at RB and go wide receiver. So first part of that question, guys, what are our thoughts backs right now?
Well,
let's go.
Okay. I think my thoughts are the same as they always are. I think that if anything, there might be more depth at quarterback than ever with the emergence of some of the young guys on last year. Carson Wentz, I really think Jameis Winston's in a good spot this year. They have a good strength of schedule for him. He's got a lot of weapons there. You look at other young guys, but you know, Deshaun Watson was having a great year till he got hurt. And then you got Jimmy Garoppolo came on strong at the end of the season last year. And then, you know, Rodgers, Wilson, Brady, Newton, Breeze, those guys are going to put up good numbers. Kirk Cousins does. I think you really don't have to spend, excuse me, a lot of money at quarterback. I think you have to just be patient. And I really don't see any need to throw, you know, more than $3 or $4 at a quarterback, because I think you're going to get a really good one, for under $5. That's it, let's say. And so spending a lot of money on a quarterback would be foolish, as it always is. But I really think if any year, this is a great year to really sit on your wallet when it comes to quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, and Slim, we already had a little Twitter, chatter this afternoon is that, Eric Ludwig, right? We were kind of going back and forth. He was already talking a little bit about, some quarterback auction numbers out there. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I think definitely you want to just fade quarterbacks as long as you can in your draft. And I think, you know, most drafts are starting to become a little bit smart in the sense of, not spending big on quarterbacks. You might get the odd guy that's still going to pay up for Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, but I'm looking at Fantasy Pros, rankings right now. And when you've got a guy like Marcus Mariota as the quarterback 18, or Matt Ryan as the quarterback 16, Jameis Winston as the quarterback 15, like I don't see any need to pay up for a quarterback. You know, I'd even take a guy like Mitch Trubisky, who's their quarterback 22,
yeah,
for a dollar. Like when it's that deep, like Blister said, I feel like, in fantasy, quarterback might be as deep as we've seen, maybe in the last, 10 years? I don't know. To me, there's just no reason really, unless your draft is one of these drafts that like everybody, avoids quarterbacks. Then I could see if you can get Aaron Rodgers for $12, then that's something you definitely want to look into. But most drafts aren't going to be like that. Unless you're drafting with a bunch of experts or analysts or something like that. A lot of those results, I see quarterbacks going really, really late if it's a snake, or really cheap if it's an auction. But yeah, I think the best bet is for you to just find 5 guys you like that are later, and try and get 2 of them. And it's going to really free up some budget money to do some pretty cool things with your wide receivers and your kind of RB3, RB4, stuff like that.
Well, I think the quarterback tiers are like, it's flattened out a little bit, right? They're either larger tiers, or there's not as much variance in between the different tiers. So I think that just really makes sense when you see Matt Ryan that far down already on the preseason ranks. I mean, there's a guy a couple years ago that was QB1, you know, and just ripping touchdowns. And now you've got him outside of QB1. That just shows you that it's flattened right out, right? So why not spend just a couple bucks on a Matt Ryan? Yeah. That'd be pretty sweet.
Well, I think the key is look for guys that, there's some pretty telling statistical signs of, you know, touchdowns per attempt and things like that. If you look at those numbers, Matt Ryan's is a good example. I was listening to a podcast the other day and they talked about him, And 2 years ago when he had that really big year, he was really efficient. He threw a lot of touchdowns. And there's a pretty clear correlation or just, you know, a mean value that quarterbacks get to in terms of touchdowns per pass attempt kind of thing. And he just really, that 1 year when he was really putting up big numbers, he was way above that mean. And there's going to be regression when they do that. They're going to fall to that mean. That's what averages are. And it's pretty clear to see with the quarterbacks. If you look at them over the years, it's happened to guys like Russell Wilson. It's happened to Drew Brees last year. He kind of fell down a little bit, but when they're, you got to look for those guys that were under the mean last year and that you project them to bounce back. And, they were talking about Drew Brees as this big bounce back candidate because he was so far under. Now he's undervalued. He's the quarterback 6, according to Fantasy Pros. It's not a stretch to say he could finish as the top fantasy quarterback in any given year because he's just that prolific. So, that's, I think, what you want to look for in terms of your quarterbacks.
And there should be a little podfather, I think.
That, little podfather. That was actually the.
That's what it was because I was cutting the grass this morning and that sounded like the exact, conversation he had.
Yeah, it was really good listening to
the hitman on. It was really good. Yeah. Yeah. So that's Fantasy Mansion. I don't want you to get in some sort of Twitter war with him. So we'll give him a shout out. There you go. Blister now. I know this is going to be, I know what the answer is, but of course people want to hear thoughts on rookie quarterbacks. Are you looking at anybody like Mayfield or that, or even second year guys? If you're looking at, I'm a home stuff like that. Where do you have those guys kind of slotted?
Well, I haven't really sat down and penciled in any ranks yet. I really don't have any high expectations or plans of any rookie quarterbacks starting the year as my starter. Perhaps I take one as for my bench or something, but I think Mayfield has a tough schedule this year. I think he'll be in for kind of a tough go. I'm just going to leave them on the waivers and let them develop there. I think there's plenty of good proven quarterbacks ahead of them. Even Mahomes, he should be okay, but that whole team, I mean, the good thing about Mahomes is I think they really made a lot of changes on the offseason and I think their defense is going to be terrible. So he might throw the ball a lot and maybe you don't want to put that on our young quarterback, but I think he will get a lot of passing attempts this year. So that might be something to keep in mind, but I don't know unless it's a lot of garbage time and it could be and they all count the same in football, the points that is. I'm not targeting any of the younger guys.
Slim, what about, the idea of maybe spending $2 a quarterback and taking Tyrod and Baker Mayfield or Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen and then having guys that are throwing to Josh Gordon or throwing to Larry Fitzgerald and knowing that you only spent a couple bucks to do it all season?
In a regular redraft kind of format where there's waivers and things like that, I don't personally like taking quarterbacks that I don't think are going to play. So I think it's risky to take a guy like Mayfield, guy like Rosen, Lamar Jackson, anybody like that, just because as of right now, I don't see any of them, starting the season at quarterback. I mean, Josh Allen is maybe the guy that you might want to look at if you wanted to go take a rookie, just because I think he maybe has the easiest shot to get a starting gig right out of the gate. But even him, I don't think that it's anywhere near a guarantee that he starts. Personally, I don't want to waste a roster spot in a guy who that is, you know, doesn't project to ever see the field unless a coaching change happens or an injury. I'm not really high on Bradford or Tyrod either because it's pretty muddy. And I mean, if the Browns start pretty crappy, there's a chance Tyrod's out of there by week 6 or something like that. And then it's Baker time, but I mean, you can hopefully grab Mayfield if you really were desperate a couple weeks before that happens. Or, you know, if Sam Bradford goes down because he probably will, then you could maybe get Rosen off of waivers. Well, that's right. So, but yeah, I mean, I can't advocate for going out and taking any of those rookies right now in any kind of redraft unless it's some type of best ball league or super flex league. I guess we should preface this by saying we're talking only about start one QB leagues too. So,
right. And PPRs is usually the way we go to. Not that it has to do with quarterbacks, but it'll go into the next part here.
Yeah.
So, Blister, moving to the second part of Ryan Minor 8's question. Is this the year to zag at RB and go wide receiver? What are your thoughts?
It's early still, I think, but I don't think my first instinct is no, and that could change over the course of the summer with injuries and things like that. But I look at some of the, there's going to be some studly running backs that hopefully, you know, provided they stay healthy, put up a consistent point total for you on a week in, week out basis. And I don't see that same, I don't trust the wide receiver core as much as I've had in the past. For example, I might really like DeAndre Hopkins and Antonio Brown. And then, you know, last year, Keenan Allen was third, Jarvis Landry was fourth, Fitz was fifth, and Michael Thomas was sixth. I don't mind those guys, although Jarvis Landry has a new, change of scenery. But after that was Julio Jones, who was seventh, and I had him on a few teams. And I tell you, he was disappointing to own last year. He had one game where he had 50 points. So if you give him his average point total that game, and he finishes, like I said, the seventh ranked receiver. You give him his average point total that game, and he drops down, let me see, down to about 15th, 16th ranked wide receiver. So when you think about the money people spent on Julio last year and who might spend that on him again this year, there's been question marks every year about the year before he wasn't getting touchdowns. Last year I only caught 3 touchdowns. So it's a little disappointing to spend big bucks on a guy like that. And then they got other guys that were in the top 10, Adam Thielen, Tyreek Hill. You know, Tyreek Hill might take a step back this year. AJ Green, Marvin Jones, Golden Tate. So it's not really a laundry list of the guys that you really had to spend a lot of money on last year. So what I'm saying then basically is if I don't think you have to zag from running back and target wide receiver unless you really have your heart set on maybe Antonio or DeAndre Hopkins. I don't have a lot of confidence. I really think that there's going to be wide receivers this year that are further down the board that we might talk about in the next listener question that you could probably get a discount and it could potentially definitely be either a wide receiver one or wide receiver two. So I'm not leaning on heavily targeting wide receivers this year.
So Slim, what about you? Is this, same type of strategy you're going to be taking? I got a sneaking feeling that you might be going the other way. I don't know why my gut's just saying that. Are you thinking of targeting RBs and going anti RB0?
No, I mean, I don't know. Here's how I read this question. The year to zag at RB and go wide receiver. I mean, there's a million ways you can draft, right? I mean, again, it's all about pick anybody who owned Todd Gurley or, I was going to say Kamara, but he kind of let you down in the playoffs. It didn't time out well.
Yeah.
But like anybody who owned Todd Gurley last year probably had a very good chance to win their league or else won their league. So like you got to draft the right guy. I look at it like there, you want one solid running back. And I look at the running back rankings when I see a guy like Devontae Freeman as an RB11, Christian McCaffrey is an RB14, things like that. I think running back is still pretty deep too. So I mean, there's something to be said for waiting and trying to get, you know, two of those guys as your starters and then go on receiver. Again, it's going to come down to what your draft is doing. If guys are loading up on the big time running backs, to me, there's nothing wrong with loading up on some receivers, some of the top tier guys, and then sprinkling, you know, in some of these RB2s and trying to grab two or three of those kinds of guys. I think that the guys like Gurley, the guys like David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, they're going to get points. There is no doubt about that. Depends on what you think of your roster construction when you go to buy one of those guys. And I don't know if you need to buy one of those guys to actually, you know, to win a league this year, but, I think you want one for sure running back, whether that is Kamara, whether that's Gurley, whether that is, Leonard Fournette for you. you have to decide, I guess, where that cutoff is for you,
right,
and then try and get one of those guys and then build a wide receiver core accordingly. But I agree with Blister. I mean, wide receiver's deep. It's not so much that these wide receiver twos and threes are necessarily any better. I think NFL offenses just spread the ball around more, and we don't get these workhorse target hogs that we used to get. So, I mean, if you can find one of those guys, like DeAndre Hopkins kind of was last year, kind of, you know, he was ranked a little bit lower on most rankings than he would have finished for sure. If you can find one of those kinds of guys that's going to outproduce his price point, then, and pair him with a really steady running back, you're probably going to do pretty well. So again, it's trying to read your draft and find those kinds of guys, but I think that that strategy could work if you wanted to go wide receiver and avoid running back, because I think there's going to be some decent running backs down there, whether that means going and drafting all the rookies, you know, go draft Rashad Penny, Darius Geis, and Ronald Jones or something like that. And those are your starters, and you just try and, you know, stream them the best you can throughout the season. And you've loaded up with Antonio Brown and AJ Green and, I don't know, Keenan Allen or something like that. Well, you're probably going to have a pretty decent shot too. So I don't know if there's one surefire way. I don't mind either of them at this point right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I think the target hog idea is going to be obviously relevant, as it always is. I think if you look down into those threes and fours, if we're tier threes and fours, if we're looking at Fantasy Pros and, you know, seeing Baldwin or Larry Fitz or Allen Robinson, I think you can get a pretty good core of guys that are going to be seeing a lot of the football anyways, right? Maybe not in the most prolific offenses, but just getting the lion's share of the targets.
And volume.
I think that, volume. And, you know, or Michael Crabtree or, you know, even going all the way down to Pierre Garçon, which, Slim, I may add, I don't know if I've talked to you about that. Just my flights last night to go to the Niners-Cardinals game over Thanksgiving.
Oh, are you going to? Right on.
Yeah, well, the guys out in Calgary, it's Hammer's 40th, so there's, I don't know, 7 or 8 of us that are all going to meet down in Francisco and go to the game, and should be a good weekend.
Awesome.
That'd be awesome. That's going to be awesome. Anyways, Blister, anything else to add to that idea of running backs and wide receivers right now?
No, I think it's early. Like I said, you go in there with like we always tell you, 2 or 3 different plans and, go with what's available. Finally, once you know, as the rosters start to shake out and depth charts start to get a little better established, you'll know who you really want and who's in a good position and you'll throw your money at them accordingly. And I think you go in there and all of a sudden if you think you're going running back heavy and then all of a sudden some good wide receivers are falling at a too good a deal to pass, then you're not going to be upset if you take them, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where you start to work on your tiers and playing with your roster construction and seeing what things look like. And you're right. You go in there with 2 or 3 different plans and attack when you see fit, right? You know where you're going to go already. So if you see the opening, you go get it. So.
Yeah. And speaking of tiers, are you setting up like a template that you want us to fill in for tiers again or do whatever we've had in the past? And
I can set something up and we can fire that out there. Remind me that, send it on the line apps if I remember to do something with it. All right. Okay. Let's go on to question number 2. Slim, this is from Canadian Vike fan. He said, this is his question here. Who were the guys who were hyped as good picks or who busted, not including injury?
So this was kind of a dick question. I'm not going to lie. Canadian Mike fan.
Yeah.
One, you made us go through everything that you could have went through and look for guys that were highly touted to see how they produced. So now you made us go do that. But that's cool. We did it anyway. That's what we do, I guess. Hopefully you buy a subscription. So if I'm going to be your lackey and look all this stuff up, then,
there you go.
But you know, that's cool. We'll run your fantasy team for you too. You send us all those. We might as well just,
at the very least,
we'll split half your winnings too.
At the very least.
Let's go.
Go on iTunes and give us a rating and a review. At the very least, Canadian.
Oh, not to spoiler alert, but the second half of the question to me is a little bit more telling, but we'll get to that in a second. Anyways, guys that were hyped last year that busted, well, we can probably go through this together. Some guys that I thought of off the top of my head, running back Ty Montgomery, Isaiah Crowell, Amir Abdullah, CJ Procise. There were guys that maybe consensus with our group, maybe more so me, some of these guys. I know I was big on Ty Montgomery. Dez Bryant, T.Y. Hilton, Terrell Pryor, Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson, Willie Snead, I think probably all disappointed fantasy owners to some extent last year. Receivers, unfortunately, they're tied more to the quarterback. So when the quarterback stinks, those guys are going to stink too, which I think happened with a few of those guys. Tight end, Martellus Bennett was a guy that jumped out to me. I know he ended up actually getting hurt later on in the season, but up to that point, I think he was only averaging, a little less than 6 fantasy points a game. So based on what I thought he would do to, you know, he wasn't really living up to any kind of expectations. And then the quarterbacks, guys like Winston, Carr, and Mariota, I think, kind of let down some fantasy owners last year as well. So, yeah, I mean, those were the guys that were hyped, as far as I'm concerned, that busted, not including injury. So that answers, I guess, the first part of your question. Hope that helps.
There you go. Blister, anyone to add? He just ripped off like 55 dudes he just ripped off there.
Yeah, I like how he did that. I just, you know what, I went through there really quickly tonight when I got home and,
called preparation.
Yeah, I was looking at the AFC, my AFC breakdowns from last year, and I had like Emmanuel Sanders, as a guy to go after. He ended up as wide receiver 60, Michael Crabtree, wide receiver 31, Mike Williams, wide receiver 137, Corey Davis, wide receiver 85, Jamison Crowder, wide receiver 32, Pierre Garçon, wide receiver 74. I think a lot, those guys all that I mentioned could see a significant improvement this year in their previous year's ranks for different reasons. I really don't know why no one's talking about Garçon. I really liked him in that offense, and I really liked the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo likes to throw the ball. So I think that he could be huge this year. I really think that that could be my sleeper pick for the whole year, that guy right there. Other than that.
Already calling it.
Yeah, other than that, I don't know, like Dalvin Cook only played 4 games because he was hurt, so I got to take him aside. Marlon Mack, we kind of thought he might jump in last year and take over for Frank Gore, but he ended up finished as a running back 48. I think he'll have a big jump, obviously, this year with Frank Gore being gone now. So I think Slim nailed it, though, with all the guys he mentioned. I think there's some guys that, yeah, it's kind of an important aspect to look at, like guys that are, you know, if you're in a pretty veteran group of people, and if people are listening to podcasts right now, they're probably going to be on top of a lot of these guys that fell last year for various reasons, and maybe they were banged up or their quarterback was, like we said, or different things, and they'll be in the know. But if you're drafting with some other guys that are just going to grab, you know, maybe last year's stats or something like that, they're going to be ranked a lot lower. They're not going to see their name even. They're going to, you know, it's an advantage you got to take. So you got to try to pick some of those guys out. I think obviously they'll all go for a lot less money than they did last year based on the fact that they disappointed a lot of people last year. So if they're out there, they could be, you know, Mike Williams could be a huge, could see huge gains this year. And if Keenan Allen were to go down, which he has many, many times, then all of a sudden Mike Williams could be, you know, jumping right up into the wide receiver 2, wide receiver back end, wide receiver 1. You never know because the number of targets that Keenan Allen got. So yeah, you have to know those people, know their names, and be ready to look for them in your drafts.
Please, you guys all buy Mike Williams in the drafts that I'm in, then buy him.
Yeah.
Yep. I hope so.
Fan Aislinn.
Not Tyrell Williams, those extra targets.
I don't know. Henry. I heard Mike. Well, those targets from Hunter Henry are going to my boy Keenan. You know that red zone beast right there. So that's all I care about. Throw those touchdowns to him. I don't care about the midfield targets, but in that red zone, get close to that stripe, find Keenan.
There you go. And I guess one of the things here too, when looking at this, like Blister was talking about, is finding out the whys on guys busted, right? Is it because we were overhyped on them? Is that the reason why? Or is it because of something else? Why? And then that's where you're going to find your sleepers.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. Like when you get a question like this, that somebody takes that info and then, okay, exactly like you said, why can you explain why Ty Montgomery or Amari Cooper or Dez Bryant was crummy? Yeah. And hopefully you can. And then can you turn that around? Like Blister said, can you, you know, look for some of these guys to bounce back? Maybe some of these guys are going to perpetually be, shitty, like Terrell Pryor. I mean, I don't think anyone's
picking him to bounce back. That's the name I was just going to say.
And like to the second part of, you know, segue, who could some of these guys be this year? Like if you understand the process why some of these guys flopped a little bit, who looks to be in some type of similar situation, whether there's a quarterback change or a role change or a rookie coming in that's going to do something, who looks to be in that similar situation now in this year? And can you fade some of those guys or maybe nominate them really early in your draft and let someone else pay for them?
Yeah.
Hint, hint.
So who are some of those busters you might be fading or doing an early nomination next year?
Well, based on our Twitter convo today, when you're talking to our friend Eric Ludwig, we've had him on the show before. He's a big auction guy. He was talking about Deshaun Watson, and he's a guy I agree with. I think, again, he's going to regress. You know, if you look at him and Will Fuller as two examples in the Houston Texans, they feasted on some humongous plays that inflated their fantasy stats. And Watson isn't a bad quarterback, don't get me wrong, and I think he's going to be a pretty viable fantasy option because he does a lot of stuff rushing the ball, but I just don't think you can expect so much, you know, big play upside that they were getting. So he's a guy that I think you got to knock down a little bit. A guy like Dak Prescott is a guy that, you know, typically seems to, probably because he's on the Cowboys.
he's throwing to Hearns this year. I mean, come on.
But, you know, he didn't look very good last year for the second half of the season for sure. The receiving core, you know, is probably worse, you know, last or this year than it was last year. I don't necessarily expect huge things. Zeke isn't like a huge PPR target or anything like that for him. So, he's a guy I think that's probably going to be a little bit overdrafted. And then some running backs, I think, you know, Melvin Gordon. I think Ronald Jones is probably going to get hyped a lot, and I'm not necessarily super excited for him to produce big time just because he went to Tampa Bay. I think you're going to see a guy like Peyton Barber. That's why I tried to get him off you the other day, Bex, if you recall.
I
think, you know, he might struggle a little bit. I think anybody in the Green Bay backfield, I want Aaron Jones out of any of those guys, and it seems like Jamal Williams is being drafted ahead of him on most rankings. A guy like Gio Bernard, I think he's going to have trouble fighting, you know, for targets now with somebody like Mark Walton, and maybe Joe Mixon gets used a little bit more. And then some receivers that really jump out to me, Jarvis Landry. I just think he went from the ideal situation to Cleveland, which, I mean, I don't know how much volume he gets there, and he feasted on volume before. Sorry, Bex, but Mike Evans is a guy. I think we're going to see him, you know, he hasn't necessarily lived up to be this super elite guy. And if he doesn't get humongous volume, he still puts up decent fantasy points, but I don't think he puts up the points that you're hoping for a guy that you're going to have to spend the price on is what I mean. Sammy Watkins, I think you probably want to be careful with him, and a guy like Marquise Goodwin, to go back to Blister, San Francisco 49ers receivers. They brought in a lot of bodies, man, and he looked good at times last year, but they've got some young guys there that I think are going to push him, and just he's not going to be fantasy viable as much anymore as he was last year. So, yeah, that's some guys I got anyway.
Blister, any names you want to add to that list?
Well, just Jarvis Landry. He went over to Baltimore. He was the fourth-ranked wide receiver last year in PPR. I can't see him coming even close to that this year. I just think that, I mean, where I just had something up there. I was just looking at it. But other than that, I mean, Slim covered quite a few of them. No, I don't have anything else to add.
Okay.
Oh, no, Cleveland. Sorry, he's in Cleveland. I said Baltimore. Yeah. I said Baltimore, he's in Cleveland, but that's why it didn't sound right, because I was thinking that when I was looking at it, it didn't sound right. But in Cleveland, yeah, like I said, the strength of schedule is tough. He's got a rookie quarterback. They do have a number of options there to throw the
ball. That's the thing, right?
He's got a distinct, so many mouths to feed, you know?
He's got Josh Gordon there. Like Josh Gordon is the number one receiver, right?
And too many.
Like, you got a running back in the backfield that can catch the ball, like, that does probably runs a lot of the same, depth of target that Jarvis Landry runs some of his routes in the past. So is there going to be a lot of competition for targets? Yeah, I think so. I would be trading him if you owned him, or definitely nominating him early in your draft if you think he's going to go for a decent amount of money, but that's me.
That's you.
Coleman still, and they got Antonio Callaway, the rookie. He could step up. They have other guys in there.
Njoku
looks good. Yeah, and Njoku's going to get targets.
That's backfield too. It's pretty crowded.
Yeah. Yes.
And I don't think he's got that same Edelman-esque. You know what I mean? I think that wiggle after the catch and those types of things. I just don't think, you know, that average yards per target or whatever his abysmal number is there when he was with Miami, if you see that the same in Cleveland, it's going to be trouble. Trouble.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that number probably goes up, but.
Well, that number probably goes up, but the targets go way down, right?
So that's the thing. Exactly. His targets should probably drop. So I don't know. Seems like a terrible recipe for him to keep doing what he did.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think I've been probably saying not to draft him for the last 2 years, so it's slapped me in the face every year, so probably will again.
Yeah, there you go. All right, third question here, boys. At Windy City Loyal, he's talking on a $200 budget. What are you spending on this year's rookie running backs and wide receivers? Now, this is a interesting question because of the crop of rookie running backs in particular that are coming in. So, Blister, how about you? Why don't you start? Cause Slim's been rattling off all the names.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I probably wouldn't spend a whole lot of years. I don't think that, I mean, Calvin Ridley, maybe I'd spend a little bit on him. He's opposite Julio, you know, should be in a passing situation. Mohamed Sunu is still there. I don't really care for him, but he's there. Could take time for him to really take over. It's hard to say. Some people say it will. Some people say he'll be in great spot. But other than that, a lot of the rookie wide receivers, there is some talent. Michael Gallup there might be in a good situation in Dallas. But you don't need to spend a lot of money on these guys because they need to make sure they're at least the number two on a team where they're going to be opposite a really good number one with not a lot of options. So that's how you should decide who you're spending the money on. Like Cortland Sutton went to Denver, and I do think in that situation, I'd spend only a buck on him. I think Sanders and Demaryius Thomas are going to bounce back with a slightly better quarterback this year. Sanders finished last year, but I think he can easily get back into the top 30, with the new quarterback. At running back, I would probably spend like $60 on Barkley. I think, you know, he's in a good spot. He's got a good offense around him. He's going to get a lot of touches. He's going to be a big part of that offense, and he can play three downs. I mean, he's the one guy that I would. There are other, like Slim mentioned a bunch of names earlier with rookie running backs that with Penny and Geis and different guys that are in spots that they could, and Ronald Jones and different players that right now, I don't think you need to spend a ton. If they get into the number one job by the time the start of training camp or the regular season rolls around, like most of us won't be doing our auctions until later in August. And by that time, some things are going to have shaken out. Right. I think that those running backs might not be in as great of an offense altogether, but they're probably still going to, if you're getting a starting running back, and especially if they're a three down back, you could be going to spend as much as $30 on one of them, but I wouldn't want to fill my team with $30 rookie running backs. So yeah, that's about it. I wouldn't mind having a few of them. I think there's a few that could definitely, if they don't start the season as a starter, they could work their way up the depth chart to get into a starting gig before, you know, maybe 6-7 weeks into the season.
So Slim, what about you? What's the strategy there with rookies?
Well, I'm kind of like Blister, I think. I typically try and avoid rookie wide receivers. There's really only three that I can think of that might interest me to some capacity. It's Gallup, Anthony Miller, and Christian Kirk. I don't even know if I'd take Ridley. It'd have to be for maybe a buck or two at the very, very, very most at the end of a draft.
No DJ Moore?
No, I really don't think DJ Moore right now. Very similar, like you said, with Cortland Sutton. I love DJ Moore. He was my top receiver in our, you know, rookie drafts and my ranks and stuff. But I just think going to that situation, I just don't see him being really fantasy viable. He's got to compete with McCaffrey. He's got to compete with Greg Olsen. He's got to compete with Funchess. There's just not going to be enough volume really unless, you know, something really happens where he can carve out a role, and which typically just doesn't happen as a rookie. Same with, like Blister said, with Cortland Sutton. I mean, love the talent, just not till next year kind of thing.
Right.
But I think, you know, Gallup, clear path to targets. Anthony Miller, clear path to targets. Yes, he's got Allen Robinson there, but after that, I mean, it could very well be his show. And kind of very similar to Christian Kirk. Yes, there's Larry Fitzgerald, but Kirk can kind of do something that no one else on the Cardinals can do unless they decide to move Fitz to the slot, which they will probably do at times. But they'll definitely do at times. But yeah, those guys, for me, seem to have some of the clearest paths to targets, and that's what you're trying to get. I would not be spending 10 bucks or more on any of those guys. Gallup might see an inflated cost. But yeah, the rest, I'm looking to get them for $5 if I can, at the most. And as far as running back, I think the three that jump out to me are Geis, Rashad Penny, and Royce Freeman. I think they're all kind of in the RB2 discussion in fantasy right now. So that kind of puts them in the $20 to $25 range. And I think they're good guys, like a guy like Geis. If you played it pretty safe and took a pretty steady running back, you know, maybe you missed out one of the top tier guys like Gurley or Bell, and you settled for, you know, a Devontae Freeman or something as your RB1, and you wanted to go with some upside and wanted an RB2 that, you know, could hit a home run. Because I think Geis could, if he can, you know, get, you know, a little bit involved in the passing game, then yeah, to me, he's a guy you'd target as an RB2 at around $25, maybe 30. That hopefully really outperforms that, and all of a sudden you got a stud on your hands and a pretty formidable backfield. Some guys like Ronald Jones, Kerryon Johnson, Sony Michel, for me personally, I think they're going to go for higher than what I'm willing to pay. I don't necessarily like, with a guy like Kerryon Johnson, I just don't know what he's going to be able to do with the volume. And it's pretty pass heavy offense. Michel, again, it's a New England running back. I don't know exactly how they plan to use him, or how consistently they plan to use him. Ronald Jones, like I've said, I don't necessarily trust what he's going to be able to do at the NFL level. But you know, some sneaky guys you might want to target near the end of your draft for a couple bucks, like Nick Chubb. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe, you know, week 4, week 5, he shows enough that the Browns start using him more and more. And then by the end of the year, he's getting a decent amount of carries here, maybe 60% of the snap share or something like that. And he's doing okay. And then maybe like a guy like Nyheim Hines or Kalen Ballage could, you know, carve out a little bit of a role in the passing game. So they might be worth a little flyer for a buck or two, but yeah, that's kind of, I guess right now how I see things kind of shaking out in, I wouldn't be spending any money in a tight end. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. No kidding. Blister, so do you, use one of these rookies as kind of, a price point finder? Like, do you say, oh, it's Sony Michel and throw him out there and just, you know, early in the draft to see what the price point might be at, see where guys are thinking about rookies, or maybe if it's, Slim was talking about Ronald Jones and just saucing them out a little bit early, and maybe you sneak them at a decent rate, but maybe too, you, kind of set the rookie bar.
Something I haven't really done in the past, but it does work. Like there are people that always like you always use the analogy, the shiny new toy. So even though a team has them, a lot of guys want that player. They want to have that guy on their team, this new high draft pick that everyone thinks is going to do wonders. And, you know, so I'll throw them out there sometimes if I think there's somebody in the my draft at the time who is that kind of a person who really wants to grab that person in case they go off and, you know, they're the next Leonard Fournette or Ezekiel Elliott or somebody is really tore it up. Yep. So, but at the same point, you know, if I think that they're in a good spot, I'll keep an eye on them. And if it's a good price, like any player, I'll put in bids as well. But yeah, I haven't really used them as a measuring tool so much, but I know just like any other player in a draft, if there's somebody out there that might want to spend on them, I'll let them spend.
Sure. Sure. Okay. So those are three questions we got fired out today on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Fantasy Auction. That there. Slim will take care of sending it to the appropriate guy or just retweet and then we all pick it up and those types of things too. So we do a pretty good job of answering pretty much anything that comes our way auction related, right, Slim?
We try and get to them every day.
I don't know there's been too many that have fallen through the cracks. So that's good.
Hopefully not. No.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess right now I'm just taking a look here and thinking where we are as far as we're pushing that hour mark. Maybe next week we can take a look at some of these ideas around, what are some of our exercises, quote unquote, that we're doing right, you know, this time of year to get ready for the summer and ready for the fall. So we take a look at some of that stuff for next week. But in the meantime, feel free to send us some questions at Fantasy Auction and we'll get those on the podcast also next week. And guys, yeah, we're pushing about an hour. So anything else you guys want to do? I figured that those three questions, Slim, you're right, would push us in the right range of time. Anything else you guys want to add?
No, not for me. I think that's good. I'm glad that we're back on here.
That's why I out there.
I'm glad we're back, man.
Yeah. When I say, do you have anything else to add?
Can you put in a cricket sound effect?
You sit there and you say, you sit there, you do nothing. And then that means officially back, right?
That's right.
Yep. Make it awkward and uncomfortable again for everybody. Yep.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right. Perfect, guys. So, hey, that's episode 166. It is Memorial Day weekend for those of you south of the border, probably up here picking up some pounding some fish, getting some walleye up in our neck of the woods, maybe. So, what else? So next week we'll try to go again on pound some fish.
Yeah.
What?
I know, right?
Pound some fish. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I was sleeping at the wheel there. So I'm sorry.
Oh.
Well, maybe they're doing walleye and fish at the same time. Anyways, we'll try to go again, next Sunday night, boys.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so this one out. Hopefully, it'll be out Monday morning after 9. Okay. Yep. And then away we go. So, guys, thanks for getting this thing fired back up. I'm happy we're back on the air. Blister, he's pumped now because his research is officially started, right?
That's right. Now I got to get my butt in gear. No dull moments.
No dull moments. Podcast all the way out to work every day.
I got a title to defend again, boys. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, you always have a title to defend. I'm going to listen. If I don't, and just on the side note, I know it's a dynasty, but on my other league, and those guys don't, well, maybe Narinsky listens, but other than that, no one listens. Team over there, if it doesn't, that league's supposed to go back to back. If you win back to back, then the league's over. It might be over. Here, I'm starting to put some pieces together over there.
Did you win
last year? I just made the trade to get DeAndre Hopkins. No, because I had the Gronk injury. I was number two in scoring heading into the playoffs, but it did sit me into that 101 pick on that, consolation playoff. Oh, nice. Ho, ho. The team's looking sharp over there, boys, is all I'm saying. So. We call the league back-to-back jacks.
You gotta win one first, but remember
that.
You
gotta win one first. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, that's true.
Gotta win the first one. Yeah. The league's only been around for 1 year. But, I did pick up Saquon, obviously, and I got Todd Gurley already sitting over there. And then I made the trade just recently They got to pick up DeAndre Hopkins. I'm just like,
you just want to see starting.
Oh, I just want it to start so bad. And I want Dez to find a team so he can be my wide receiver 7 on that team. so painful. So painful. Anyways, all right, boys, we're pushing into the hour mark. Blister, maybe I'll see you on the road or after Cirque du Soleil. I only see you on Twitter anymore. That's it. It's so sad.
Once we get school done here, maybe
we'll just tweeting.
Yeah.
Have to,
get on the links.
Cause we didn't even get to see at the rookie draft. We got to do something. Maybe at the links. Yeah. I got too much soccer on Thursday nights, but maybe at the links. Anyways. Blister, I'll see you on the road. Slim, I'll see you when
I'll see
you
in the soccer field on Thursdays.
Oh, you're on the big, no.
No. The little field. Yeah.
There you go. All right, boys. And for the rest of you, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll be coming back to you.